Mario Andretti has joined us on Sports Byline USA, and as I pointed out, that 1948 Hudson Hornet Sportsman. Tell me the story behind that, Mario.
Well, that was we were in the United States 2 years, 1957, and we knew there was a racetrack, obviously, next door here, right at the fairgrounds in Nazareth, and we figured. We were legal to race at age 21, so we figured might as well start now, start building a car, and try to get some cash together, and that's how we started. But the car was finished 2 years later, 2 years before we anticipated. So okay, now what are we going to do? We're not going to wait 2 years, and so we fudged the birth date on a license, and. And all of a sudden, we were 21, from 19 to 21. And Aldo and I just, we tossed a coin, who's going to drive first. And he won the toss. I was actually almost quite happy about it, just to see how he would do. And that's how it all started. And, we chose quite well, and that was a credit to one of our buddies who was, when you have buddies together, there's only one that's the scientist, if you know what I mean, the nerd that knows everything. And Charlie Mitch suggested that we go with a Hudson because the Hudson Hornet was winning most of the NASCAR races on the dirt. And so that's why we went that way, and it paid off.
There was only one problem with all of this. You never told your parents you were racing, right?
That's a fact. we didn't dare tell my dad because every time we talked about it, he just didn't want to know about racing because he certainly was not a fan of the sport, and all he ever heard of is the fatalities because that's what was always, that's what the press would be talking about. And so he just, we didn't dare tell him because he would have blocked it for sure. But at the end of that very first season, Aldo got hurt very badly, and this car actually was critical. And my dad almost felt vindicated, because I told you, that's how he found out, and when my brother came to, he was in a coma for a long time. The first thing he says, "I'm glad you had to be the one to face the old man." So that statement alone, I thought, okay, we got him back. He gets it, and that was a good thing. But what got my dad mad, really, really upset was. The following year, when we built another car. In fact, I was building a car while my brother was still convalescing. But we got through it. My dad became one of the biggest supporters later on. He would ask me, "How's Aldo doing?" And then he would go to Aldo, "How's Mario doing?" So he started warming up to it, and then of course, the rest, then he was wondering why we weren't winning every race.
Take me back to those tracks, because during that particular time, and I've seen movies, the Hollywood productions of what it was like, and I've had a chance to go to some of the smaller tracks around the country from time to time, and I've always found the atmosphere, but what was it like back on those tracks racing those days?
Well, it was kind of, pretty rough and pretty basic. It was, very competitive. And I tell you what, it was, you had to have your stuff together, because, you were racing, we were racing against a lot of experience, drivers that were making careers out of this, and so it was certainly not a bed of roses. But again, it was great formative years for us, great experience. And you win, you crash, you do all the things, but it's all about experience and moving on. And, you know, we were very fortunate. You know, we were getting our licks in. You know, we were winning races. And from there, you move on from one category to the next. You know, you just keep going forward, just like going to school, you know. You go to kindergarten, and, you know, you go to grade school, you go to high school, and then you go to college and university. You know, so we were making we were progressing, and that's what it was all about. But in those days, as I said, I tell you, the grassroots were tough.
Your career certainly did take off in the 60s. Your first win came in the 60s at a midget track in New Jersey. And I remember as a kid, because I grew up as a kid, and I was living in Illinois, and we used to go down to Champaign-Urbana, where they would have the midget racing at the county fair and the state fair down there, and just watching them going around that dirt track. Tell me about the Hoosier Grand Prix that you won.
Well, the Hoosier Grand Prix, that was my very first IndyCar race in 1965. It was actually, you know, my very first full season in IndyCars, and I was Rookie of the Year at Indy, and I finished third, and then only won one race that year, which was the Hoosier Grand Prix, and ironically, it was a road race. And that was the only road race of the season, and a road racing is really what I wanted. And then I won the championship that year because I had a lot of, you know, good finishes, a lot of seconds and so forth. Road racing is really what I lobbied for, even in IndyCars, and then when I started doing that, but I won the very first one.
Was 67, when you ran in Daytona, the 500, and you won that, was that the first time or the second time you had run in Daytona?
Oh, that was actually, it was probably the third time.
Okay.
That I ran there, because I ran for Smokey Unick in the 500, and I ran, you know, the Firecracker 400 for Cotton Owens, and then the third one was the 500 for Hallman and Moody, and that's the one that I won.
Yeah, when you think back to that Daytona 500, what was it that sticks out in your mind about that race, Mario, besides winning it?
Well, you know, what was interesting about it is the practice, the qualifying, I was not really getting the engines that my teammate Fred Lorenzo was getting. You know, he was definitely number one on the team, and for some reason I was just not getting the power. And so the more that I inquired, you know, it was hard to get information, you know, from anybody. But the more I inquired, you know, with the gear I was pulling, I was just not getting the revs. So finally, I squeaked enough that I did, after I qualified, single qualifying for the notorious, the qualifying races, as you know, they have the two qualifiers. You know, in those days, there were 100 miles, not 100, now they're 150 miles. And anyway, that's when all of a sudden the car really came alive. I mean, and obviously I had a good car. The setup, the chassis was good, the balance was good. And I started, you know, even in practice before this race, when they put a decent engine in, I was running faster than pole was with Curtis Turner. So I knew I had a fast car. There's only one problem I had to, because I had a weak engine qualifying, the single car qualifying, I ran a very low spoiler in the back, and you had to race with whatever you qualified. So I was paying a bit of a penalty, and it was tough to do it in traffic. So I had to lead. So that's why I led so many. I led 118 of 200 laps that race.
Well, the cars that you drove in the Indy 500, now you win that in 1969 in the 67 Daytona 500, different types of cars. What type of adjustments did you have to make as a driver to adapt to each racing scenario?
Well, you know, I moved around disciplines, all the time. And as far as a race driver, you're looking for, the key factor is the balance of the car. And that's one field that any race driver that has some experience, you know, is looking for. And no matter what type of car it is, you know, some react quicker than others because of, you know, the dynamics of the car. But But there's a good feel, a right feel, and a wrong feel about the car. When you get what you want, you know, you adapt pretty easily. Just to give you an idea, I mean, 2 weeks after winning Daytona, we won the 12 Hours of Sebring with Bruce McLaren, you know, in the Ford. And the same weekend that I was running the 500-mile race in Atlanta, the stock car race, you know, so... we were actually there the weekend of the Atlanta race, which was 2 weeks after Daytona. Foyt and I were going back and forth. We're at Atlanta in a stock car for a few hours and flying down to Sebring in the sports car. We were doing a lot of testing, so we knew the animal. You know, we just knew how to deal with it.
Mary Andretti has joined us, an icon in the sport of auto racing, no doubt about that. Again, as I pointed out, career wins including 111 races, the only driver to win the Indy 500, the Daytona 500, and the Formula One World Championship. And he was also one of only three drivers to win races on road courses, paved ovals, and dirt tracks in one season, a feat that he accomplished not once, not twice, not three times, but four times. We continue on Sports Byline.